I feel like a beached whale. The whole week I was spent swimming and eventually got caught on the shoreline. Now I'm just washed up. I'm ready to explode. That's what beached whales do, right? I'm pretty sure that's their main characteristic. Explode. That's like their whole shtick. That's everything that they do. That's their entire thing. It's gonna be wild times, everybody. Wild times. And I'm gonna still be here doing the show. For y'all. For everybody. As I want to do. I keep yawning, and the problem is that people mix it up with burps, because for some reason my throat doesn't close properly whenever I yawn. My trachea, like, makes a weird, like, pinching sound, like a weird duck that's just asphyxiating or something, and then people are like, oh, you just burped and didn't say excuse me? I didn't burp, man. I simply just yawned, but my throat is weird. I did that once, and then someone literally tried to gaslight me into saying that I didn't. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? Isn't that a strange audience? Isn't that just a bit weird? The fact that they believe things that they don't actually exist in reality, that don't actually align with my beliefs and my understanding of reality. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? The contingency of burping requires you to expel gas from your stomach, bozo. How dare you? Anyway, no one does that to me anymore too often because I fixed it, probably, hopefully. But I try my best, man. See right there? It's like a weird little... I don't know, man. How would you describe that? It's like Donald Duck getting strangled. But, like, pinching his trachea so much that not even, like, a pinch of air can come out. And he's just kind of accepting it. I love the cold open. The cold open is the best part of this show, I think, I believe. It's just the best part. There's nothing to it. I think no one really cares, so I'm just going to keep rolling. We're doing this for goofs and gaffs. I'm not doing this to hone an audience. You kidding me? It's too much work. Besides, I don't have anything better to do, so. Future me, roll it. Just, I don't know, say hi or something. You know what to do. Yeah.
I'm stuck.
It is 5 o'clock.
The water level is rising.
Blah, bleep, bleep, bleep. Let's get this rolling.
I'm gonna die, please.
Welcome back, everybody, to Independent Incidentals with your host, your friend who can take you on many fun adventures throughout the world of the gaming industry, Dominic. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Today is going to be a little bit more of a lazier one. I can already tell that much. It's a combination of what happened last week with 2,000 things I had to do at the exact same time. And also a bunch of other mental things that I've not really been taking care of as of late. So today is going to be one of those chill vibe episodes to kind of take off the pressure a little bit. Just a little bit. A teensy weensy bit, if you have it like that. I just need to double check something, because Something about Radio Laurie recently. I don't know why. I'll have to talk to Jackson about it. But the damn app doesn't connect to the damn website. Pissing me off. Let's have to double check then if I'm actually able to hear myself. Am I there? I don't think I'm there. Oh no. That's so funny. Hold on. Let's figure this out. Audio input. This has to be it. Are we there? Hold on. Wait. I think I'm finally there. I think they muted the wrong one.
This has to be it. Are we there?
Oh, hello, audience. Welcome back, everybody. Oh my gosh. I'm having so many fun times with this website. I'm really having a great time. Someone had the great idea to mute the audio input track instead of the other application track. So I've been talking to the void for the past couple days. Well, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it on the recording if you tune in to RadioLaurier.com. So there's a reason to go to that ad website, because then you have all the fun little tidbits that you can explore. Isn't that great? Isn't that just a great thing that you can do on the website? Okay, we're back. Like I said before, today's going to be a little bit of a more chill episode because of all the fun things I had to do last week, and also some mental things that I wasn't taking care of that I was a bit neglecting. So that will be that. And today we're going to be talking about a fun, interesting game I played over the winter break. The Stanley Parable. I'm sure a lot of people know about the Stanley Parable. The Stanley Parable is one of those infamous, if you want to go that route, if you want to be in on the in-joke. But the Stanley Parable has been a very, very, very influential game in the past decade, especially on the 2010s specifically. That was the probably pinnacle amongst all the other interesting games, and spiraled into the kind of meta genre that we see nowadays with things like, you know, I don't know, a few examples. Let's see, Mamori, for example, or Undertale, or even some more recent examples. I don't even know, man. We'll get to that in a second. I have it on the script, the almighty script that I refer to for everything, for all my advice, for every single thing I have, for all my... Either way, let's dive into this real quick. Let's see. We start with, specifically back in 2009, there was a guy named Davy Wren who just went to film school. I don't know if he graduated or not, that's besides the point. Because he went to film school, because back in the day, a lot of people wanted to get into the games industry. Early 2000s, maybe even late 90s, for example. Problem was, though, is that there wasn't a lot of actual resources, educational options to get into that industry. A lot of those schools who did offer game design weren't really known or even renowned. Some would argue that's still the case even now. That's probably the main reason why I went with computer science instead, but besides the point, Davy Redden. I'm so sorry, David Redden. If you're listening to this right now, I apologize profusely. I did not mean to butcher your name like that. That's an evil I wouldn't put on my worst enemy, and I just did it to you, so I deeply apologize. Basically, he was looking to want to, rather than design the actual aspects, well, he wanted to see the aspects of a game, but how they kind of influenced the more narrative outcomes of the game specifically, right? Because when you're going through a game, you're kind of taking control of that character, and you're being able to control their actions specifically, right? And something that any other medium could never do. Unfortunately, he went to film school, so while film is interesting, he didn't really find it that satisfying. He wanted to work specifically on games. So, with the help of William Pugh, which was a British developer at the time, they made a game called The Stanley Parable. Now, The Stanley Parable was actually a mod that only Davy worked on back in 2009. He was working on Half-Life 2 mods, and he used the Valve's Source Engine, which made other games that Valve produced, like Portal 2 and Gmod, I guess, if you've ever heard of that one, of course. It was mainly developed using wikis and forums back in the late 2000s in order to put together this very primitive prototype of the Stanley Parable. And he hired a British narrator to do the narration on top of it. I forget his name, though. Let me double check. Narrator of Stanley Parable. Stanley Parable, there we go. Kevin Brighting, right. Yeah. I believe, I don't know, I forget if he hired him for the full release or just the 2011 release, but besides the point, the mod came out in 2011. Then he got Pew to work on the actual source engine rather than just developing a mod on top of the framework that was Half-Life 2. From there, they were able to add a bunch of new content that the mod version didn't have, so they made the true original game from that. That's pretty much the entire start of the game. That's where all of it started. So it is independent, and it also, I guess, not really incidental now, because we'll get to that in a second, but there's been a lot of recent developments in the specific sphere that we're talking about with metagames, or practically narratives that want to poke at their own medium, right? There's a book that I found on the Wikipedia page for the Stanley Parable, I'll put it out there, called The Ethics of Playing Research and Teaching Games in the Writing Classroom, which details sections of this game. Specifically, it perfectly exemplifies what this game is about. If you have never heard of it before, or don't even know the concept of the Stanley Parable, from the wiki again, the game's lack of agency for the player in conjunction with many branching pathways characterized the game as one that had a significant tension between the will of the game and the will of the player. Such a tight little bow wrapped on the subject at hand, if I do say so myself. Essentially, the game is a walking simulator, where you have several different endings based on the choices that you, Stanley, make. However, the narrator also wants to make those choices for you. He's really keen on keeping his ideals intact to ensure the game keeps on running smoothly, regardless of what you choose. So if you like to rebel on certain choices, like me, strap in. We'll be doing a tier list later down the road of this episode that will go over each different ending one can achieve in the game. Once we get there, be wary of spoilers. I'll try to be kind of minimal on the spoilers right now, but, you know, those dastardly little things, spoilers, the ruiner of fun. You just love to skip to the good stuff, don't you? Having dessert before your dinner, hmm? Is that all you think about, listener? Just sit around telling me what you think about the overarching topic of video games? Or are you simply going to let me ramble about the game, its intricate details, and the love that was put into it without experiencing it yourself? Shameful listener. Either live on Airtime Pro or through RadioLaurier.com podcast listener. Absolutely shameful. That, right there, is an example of what the narrator would say to you if he was hosting a radio show called Independent Incidentals. Of course, there's some endings specifically where the narrator is working with you, but those are usually reserved for when you follow his lead rather than take it all for yourself, like I did when playing this game. Ooh, I remember when I played this game. I specifically had the intent. I knew the core concepts because my sister played it back in the day, but she didn't really want to spoil it for me either. But I do remember going into it saying, I want to piss off the narrator. I want to piss him off. I want to get under his skin as much as possible. And I did. Oh, I did. Every time he tried to put a plot point in front of me, I dodged it like nobody's business. He told me to go to the left door. I went to the right door. Yeah. This is kind of what I do, you know? It's kind of just what I do, you know? He tells me to go not get on the elevator lift. I get on the elevator lift, you know? Just kind of guy I am. You know what I'm saying? I pry into things that people don't want to know. People don't want to see. That's the whole point of this game. Of course, there's a roughly about 10 endings in this game specifically. It's a solid, I'd say, 2 or 3 hour romp, if you want to look at it that way. And it was a fun little game. It's a nice little piece. There are some other games that Redden, there you go. There's a few other games that Redden also developed, published, and etc. Including, what was that one game called? It was The Beginner's Guide, apparently. The concept of Beginner's Guide is interesting because it's just a collection of small prototypes of a game developer, a fictional game developer, and you're trying to piece together specifically what he was thinking about, right? When he was making those games. It's a neat little concept. I do also believe there is a remake to The Stanley Parable, which we'll also get to in a second. There's a lot of things I gotta put on hold. But what did the people think about this game? Of course, the whole fan base surrounding this game celebrates its weird meta-narrative about the narrator versus the player. How much agency you give the player versus how much control you want to give the either designers, writers, whatever, to make their own game, their own vision. And if those players possibly ruin that vision. There's a bunch of other games also, like I mentioned before, regarding Undertale, and I guess One Shot also has those kind of vibes. But have you heard of the show Severance? I haven't since a week ago. Severance apparently is like also takes place in an office. Also has all those kind of vibes about like, oh no, our coworkers are gone / altered in a specific way. And I think in that show it's talking about how like they have split lives. So like their consciousness is split in two when they're in the office and when they're out of the office. So when if they leave, then they practically, that part of them dies, which is an interesting concept, I have to admit. I don't really see the exact connection to the Stanley Parable in a very, abstract way, but I heard it's a good show. Only problem is it's on Apple TV, and you know what I think about subscription models. Right now I'm holding a thumbs down. I know you can't see it right now, but you can believe that I'm doing it. You can believe I'm doing it because I would never lie to you, audience. I love you all. I love you, audience. You are great. If you didn't listen right now, this show would have never happened. It probably would have. I'm actually lying to you. But you know what? Let's pretend. We can pretend for now. So, we talked about the reception a little bit. It was a neat little game that eventually spiraled into popularity as time went on. But it kind of was celebrated during the roughly mid-2010s mark of the Gregorian calendar, somewhere around there. So a couple of years later, in 2018, they eventually... I got all this information, by the way, from a video of the sequel for this game that apparently Redden has a brother who is in the Twitch sphere, one named Dug, who a couple of years ago released a 3-4 hour live stream streaming the game and then talking about it. Really interesting, because it got very weird, very esoteric, but also answered a lot of questions about the game that I had. One specifically was, why make a sequel? At first, I thought it was a simple remaster, which was interesting, because eventually you realize that they sprinkle a little bit more content in there, and they sprinkled a lot more content, which was the reason why, back in 2018, when they marketed it just as a simple remaster, and then pushed it back 4 years, give or take, 3-4 years, give or take, the fans got a little, probably the fans got, a little pissed, perhaps, who knows. I wasn't there, so I didn't know. Unfortunately, though, they had a bunch of new ideas for this new re-release, quote-unquote, of the game. So you can probably tell that there's more content than was just in the previous game, mainly because they had a bigger team working on it. So apparently, Pew, who worked on the game previously, is actually now the, I guess, founder of a, I don't know, publishing company or developing team called Crows, 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 who developed other games such as, there's that one VR game. They might have developed Rick and Morty one, I'm not too sure, but they also developed the accounting VR game, which was also very esoteric in its own special way. But main thing with this one is that they worked on the game in Unity now. They switched away from the Source engine, which was very limited in a lot of ways, and they were able to simply work in just Unity. Now, what do you do with the Unity engine now that you have it and you can polish the game? Well, you take this route and you add a bucket. I won't go any deeper than that. You have to play the game yourself. There's a bucket. That's all you need to know. The bucket is everything. The bucket changes everything about this game. And I mean everything. You'll have to see it for yourself. Anyway, let us move on. I'll do a quick little intermission. And then we'll move on to the tier list. The thing that everyone's been waiting for. Spoilers ahead, by the way, if you're concerned about that, of course. There'll be spoilers. There will be a bit of banter in between, as much as I can muster anyway, with my profoundly non-energetic self. This is very, very profound for me, particularly because I'm usually so vibrant, so full of energy, but now I'm just simply a husk of a man, a husk of a being. How did I get like this? Well, stick around and I might burst into tears. Who knows? Who knows what might happen on this show? I might make a fit. I might go and get on live stream fails, even though I'm not even a Twitch streamer. That's how bad it'll get. That's how much traction it'll get from how absolutely embarrassing it is. I don't know. Besides the point, I'm gonna keep playing some psychedelic bits. I hope you guys enjoy. Yes, I did have to censor the name, by the way. It's funny. Bill's Mandolin. We'll play that. And then we'll continue the show. Stay tuned. Alright. Welcome back, everybody. Right now, we're back in the hot seat. It's been a while since I made a tier list. Hopefully I'll be able to publish it this time. Oh, hello, past me. How you doing? Hope you're doing all right. I'm certainly not. All right. Let's just dive in right into this tier list. So each of these endings are from this one specific branching path. Again, there's going to be spoilers, so keep that in mind. One specific branching path in the game at the very start. The narrator gives you a choice between two separate doors, and you get to choose, technically. But the narrator assumes that you're going to go into the left door. However, you can go into the right door. For now, we'll focus on some of the ones that you get when you go into the left door, and we'll move on from there. Now, the first one is the, I guess you can call it, true ending. I don't know exactly what these endings are called. Just look up list, because I need to be accurate. If I'm not accurate, then, you know, what's even the point? Am I right or am I right? This is actually perfect. Look at this. It's a whole little chart of all the possible endings. Fantastic. Well, we'll just go in the order that the tier list prescribed it to me, and we'll go from there. I mean, if you want to play at home, I can also put the link for this specific tier list in the description of this episode. Stay tuned for that. We'll start with, specifically, the freedom ending. This ending is achieved by going through with everything the narrator says. Every single thing that the narrator wants you do without questioning it. You go into this door? Okay. Then you follow this long hallway. Then you look at this specific whiteboard. Okay, cool. It's like being the DM of a D&D campaign, and your characters surprisingly are doing everything that you're saying, and you're like, wow, what's so different? And then you remember last campaign when they try to go their own separate way, and they got a TPK in the entire party. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah, usually this is not the first ending that anyone gets, mainly on the principle that even though the choice is technically set up for you, there's still the other option. That's so tempting to most people. However, there are some people that actually talked about who got this ending first, and they're like, oh yeah, I just played it like any other game I would play. I didn't really think about it that much. And I'm thinking to myself, like, don't you want to, like, see the rest of, like, aren't you, like, curious what happens in the other door? Aren't you at least, like, a little bit curious what happens in the other door? You want to ruin it for yourself, I guess. I mean, fair enough. I'd put this in high B tier. A lot of people put this in A tier. But personally, I think this is, like, a perfect middle-of-the-road option. It's a perfect, like, I guess we can call it we can call it a kind of juxtaposition between, you know, the freedom ending, you achieving true freedom, and you, in order to get that freedom, you have to follow everything that that the narrator had to do. So that's a B tier. I think that's appropriate. Now, the next tier. So when you're inside, so basically there's a whole mind control facility that the office that Stanley works at runs, which is why all his employees have disappeared, etc., right? I don't think that's exactly why they disappeared, but I guess they didn't have enough money for the assets for all those employees. Besides the point, when you get to the main mind-controlling module, you have an option to turn it off or turn it on. The freedom ending was when you turned it off. However, if you turn it on, let's just say the narrator gets very, very condescending at you. He gets very condescending at you. I remember this specifically. So what happens, basically, is that a timer starts, and he just starts mocking you about how there's nothing you can do to solve this, even though there's a bunch of different buttons in the main, like, meeting facility, like, all the different computers you can press, and, like, trying to figure out different symbols on those buttons, and etc., and trying to figure out, like, how to stop this timer, right? Truth is, there's no way to stop the timer. And the narrator specifically states how he just wants to see you squirm, which is very funny. There's like specific buttons that were numbered, I remember, and for the life of me, I couldn't find the third button. And I still thought I had any agency in its choice. And even the fact that I realized that, wait a minute, there's no point in continuing this, because there's literally no point. It's really funny. I like this gag a lot. It's not S tier, for sure, but it is, I think, a solid A tier ending. Next one, we have let's find out the exact term for this one, the museum ending. So, before you get to the mind control facility, there is a branching pathway to either go to the mind control facility or a very sketchy hallway that says exit on the side wall. If you go down here, the narrator's like, oh, you probably shouldn't go down there. Why is he Australian? God. You probably shouldn't go down there. What if the narrator started doing that? What if he started, like, babbling for no reason? That'd be really funny. Anyway, besides the point, basically, he warns you about going into the hallway to the left, the one that's labeled escape, because it isn't an escape. When you go down the chute, and you meet your utter demise, there's a gigantic crushing machine, kind of like a la the, what was it, third Toy Story movie, except instead of a gigantic fiery inferno, there's simply a gigantic two plates of metal that are crushing the further capsules that have nothing in them. So as you're slowly being lowered to your death, suddenly the machine stops, you get released, and a different woman narrator comes on and starts detailing the entire point of the game, and you get to visit the museum of the Stanley Parable, which is quite funny. And it basically details all of the different things that they did to the game. It's like a very meta bit in the context of being able to see all the different outtakes of the narrator. You get to see the layout of the map, like the exact, like, you know, I guess, asset of the map kind of minimized, and you can see it. And a few other pictures of prototypes for different endings in the game. So if you haven't seen anything else in this game, you should probably do this ending last, but it doesn't really matter too much because there's not too many spoilers here. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what order you do them in. Everyone experiences the Stanley Parable in their own special way. Either way, I give this one also a B. Oh, hold on, let me think. I give this one a B as well. It's pretty solid. I kind of got bored of the museum eventually, but you know what? It was good while it lasted. So, before you get to the mind controls facility, there is. I love how I'm working backwards here. So I'm like starting at the very end of the game, and I'm trying to work backwards until we get to the branching pathway of the left and right door. So before you get to the mind control facility, that branching pathway between mind control facility and the escape, there is the boss's office that you have to go enter, right? Before the boss's office, though, there's a hallway, or there's a staircase, I guess, that would go up or down. On your first run-through of the left door, you'd have to go up. They block off the bottom option, specifically for this ending. So, if you go down the staircase instead of going up and doing the rest of the as-per-mentioned endings, you get the insane ending. Why is it called the insane ending? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because eventually, you get so far down that you get to this kind of, like, weird, what would you call it? I guess a liminal space would make the most sense. It's more of a non-Euclidean space, mainly on the premise that whenever you continuously go in circles around here, there's no entrance or exit anymore, and the narrator continuously describes how panicky Stanley gets, how he's not dreaming, and he needs to escape this whatever nightmare that he's experiencing right now. And, well, before this, he was also describing how beautiful it was and how he was floating and etc. I believe this ending is interesting because it details at the very end another person who just entered the office. Stanley collapsed on the ground dead, talking about how she saw him, like, running around insane in the head, in the noggin even. I wish I could do that one day. Like, what if I, like, snap, and then I eventually just, like, you know, run around and stuff? That'd be cool. I think this one also gets a B tier. Because, again, I think there's better endings, but it's not the worst one either. There's not going to be a lot of C or D endings either. I just believe that a lot of these are going to get B. So strap in. Unfortunately, this is not one of them. Let me just look up the name for this one again. The Confusion Ending. Oh, yes, yeah, the Confusion Ending. I love the Confusion Ending. It's basically the idea that once you go down the left door, instead of going forward, you take the elevator, okay? And then you go down and you find like a weird boarded up room. The narrator doesn't even know where you are at this point. And he's like, where are we supposed to be in the plot right now? So he resets the game. And he resets the game again because there's too many doors. And he resets the game again and there's not enough doors. And he resets the game again. And eventually he gets so fed up, he makes a quote-unquote Stanley Parable. It's just so funny. I love this ending so much. And eventually at the very end of it, you get to an entire whiteboard detailing the entire... Or is it a slideshow? I forget. Basically detailing the entire Confusion Ending. And he's like, it's just an ending. Oh, shoot. Crikey. Aye. I don't know why he's Scottish now. That's crazy. Anyway, the Confusion Ending gets an S tier. Maybe not like the highest S tier, but I think it's a pretty good one. It's a solid one. What is this one again? I forget this one. Hold on. Wasn't this the... Okay, Death Ending, I guess. That's cool. Oh, wait. No, this is the right... This is right. The right ending now. Interesting. You get, so basically the Confusion Ending was by going right, and then there's eventually falling back with the narrator, going back and detouring to the left, but then double-crossing him again, which I guess confuses him in a way, which is quite interesting. Let's see, so if you go to the right door now, this is where we are right now, yes. Even I'm confused, right? That's crazy. So if you go to the right door, instead of the left door, which the narrator tells you to do, you get to the employee lounge. Now, it's fun because I stood at the employee lounge for at least like solid 10 minutes, just seeing if there's any more dialogue that the narrator would talk about when I'm in the employee lounge. And there was, to be fair, there was. He was getting very fed up with me, to be fair. So, if you go down the hallway from the right door, and you, instead of, I guess... Oh, right. This is what that was. Right. Okay. There might be some endings I don't even know about. That's crazy. Besides the point, let's see. Where was I at again? Okay, yeah, this is the death ending. So basically, when you disobey the narrator completely, you get to this kind of storage room that has a elevator shaft in it. Now, the elevator shaft is actually a shaft, per se, so if you fall down it, you simply die, and the narrator just tells you that. This is probably the ending, to be fair. I wish there was something more interesting with it. You can't always have everything. You can't get everything, man. It's okay. You can't always get what you want, okay? This is not how the game works. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? This game's not meant for you. This game is never meant for you, audience. This game was meant for somebody else. Don't you get it? Anyway. I have no clue what this ending is, so I'm just going to quickly find it. Ending where you fall down to end it. Stanley Parable. This actually might be better. We'll see. Okay, this is what this ending is. Right. So, when you get on the elevator shaft, you have now an option to either fully ride it, or if you can nail the jump, I guess you don't have a jump option in this game, so you just walk off and get onto this catwalk. Now, this catwalk leads to another door, and the narrator's pleading with you, please, oh, please, player, just give me a chance, whatever he says. And... you can either, let's see here. Well, I'm confused as well. That's crazy. Here we go. Okay. Here it is. So, the idea now is that you can jump off the catwalk. And he's like, okay, let me figure this out real quick. Do you choose the red door or you choose the red door, and you have a choice between red door and a blue door, right? If you choose the blue door, then he tries to continuously force the blue door out of your vision, but you can still find the blue door. Don't worry about that. However, if you eventually choose the red door, he's like, all right, let me just, what was it? My brain isn't functioning right. Hold on. Right. He makes, like, this beautiful space where he can just vibe. There's beautiful lights and stuff that you can just look at. It's great, it's grand, it's wonderful. However, there is another door out of this room that you can go down and basically just end it all. You have to jump off the platform 4 times, and the narrator at this point is simply depressed. He's just depressed. He simply doesn't even get mad at you. He's like, no, please, is my ending not good enough for you? And this is called the Zending, simply because you zend it all. All right, let's move on. If you continuously choose the blue door, however, he gets utterly frustrated with you and decides to make a bunch of different playtests for you. First of all, he tries to add a third door, and then you have to rate it from 1 to 5 stars, how good that new game mechanic is. This is probably one of the most, like... interesting ones. Actually, I didn't rate the ending first. Let me just rate that. I think that's a solid... There's not really much to it, but also it's quite funny, so I think I'm putting a B tier. Low B tier. So, if you... There's a few other things that he does as well, and eventually, he's like, okay, you know what? Whatever. No matter what you vote for, he's like, I have a playtest for you. If you'd love to see it, he designs a new game called The Baby Game. Basically, this is actually interesting because this is something I saw in, this is like the first iteration I saw of the Stanley Parable. I'll have to find that book again. It was Scholastic Book Fair. I bought a 2017 Game of the Year, Guinness Book of World Records Game of the Year book. Basically, it had like all the hits in there, right? It had the early development of Cuphead. It had Minecraft, obviously. It had a bunch of other stuff, ratings of mobile games and stuff like that. Perfect Zoomer content for a kid like me back then. And I remember this game, specifically that screenshot of the baby game, where you have a cutout of a baby and a fire on the other opposite side, and you have a red button, right? By pressing the red button, you prolong the baby's life. However, if you let it eventually trail into the fire, the narrator gets really pissed at you, which triggers the game's ending. He's like, you know what? Whatever. You don't like my game. So he simply loads up a new game. They literally got permission from, what was it, Notch, the creator of Minecraft, to recreate Minecraft in this game. Well, not recreate it, but like give you a little taste of it, right? And he just makes a little dirt hut, and he's like, whatever, have fun. And I'm like, okay, dude, whatever, man. You do you. You know what? You do you. Eventually, he also loads up Portal 2, I believe. And there's a possibility in Portal 2 to actually get stuck in here, which is very interesting. And just kind of leaves you at that. And eventually you get stuck in the old version, the old mod of the Stanley Parable, which is also really neat. Because I didn't even know this at the time, but it's pretty much just a blank room until eventually you fall off with that and end the game officially until the game restarts again. The narrator just kind of goes off about how, I hope he's happy. Oh, I hope you're happy. And that's the ending. I do love this ending, actually. It's quite a fun ending. It's up there with an A tier with the bomb ending. It has a very fun vision with that. Now, the art ending is the goal of the baby game, right, is that you're supposed to keep the baby from dying for the next 4 hours. I didn't do this ending because I have a life. Unfortunately, I have a life, so I didn't do this ending. Eventually, I think out in the 2 hour mark, he adds a dog that's above a pit of piranhas that you also have to save with a blue button. If the pit of piranhas kills the dog, then the baby button malfunctions as well, I guess. I don't know. He has a bunch of commentary when you're doing the game as well. Eventually, though, you ascend beyond art. Like, the game is, you've unlocked, when you get this ending, when you eventually played for 4 hours, you've ascended beyond art, and you have become, I don't know, whatever. Just, like, white, you're in a white room, and you see the text, you scroll down the screen, etc. I don't think it's worth doing. I think it's a C. It's a neat concept. I like reading about it, but I wouldn't actually want to play this ending. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's good on an artistic standpoint. Like, if someone actually wants to go through with that, but, like, actually go through with that, I don't think so. Apologies. All right. So that was the art ending. I think that's pretty much that entire thing covered. Okay. Well, now we move on to if you actually go across the cargo lift. So the cargo lift brings you across to the other platform. And he's like, you know what? There's someone you've been neglecting, Stanley. There's something you've been neglecting, Stanley. Pick up the phone. It's your wife. But this was my first ending. Because I was like, no, narrator, there's another way. And I unplugged the phone. And he's like, what? And he basically gives you an entire, like, he gives you an entire spiel about why you would do that. And then he gives you a 1930s, what would you call it? Infomercial kind of thing about how people, are you a kid and you don't know what to do? Are you stupid or something? Do you just not listen to authority at all? Etc. And very funny. I like this one a lot.
But eventually, when you finish the video, you get the choice ending, which is basically the idea that you've completely broken the fabric of the game because you've done too many wrong choices, that the game is bugged out. Which is also a very weird and ominous thing. Eventually, you get teleported outside to a non-corrupted version of the game, where you see yourself, Stanley, standing there, and the narrator's like, Stanley walks and chooses the left door. And he waits for a bit, and he's like, Stanley? Come on, please, I didn't mean it, so you can do something. Please, pick the other door. I don't care, we need progression, Stanley. Stanley, we need progression. Stanley? And it just ends, and which is, for my first ending, it's a very esoteric ending, I will admit. But a fun one nonetheless. We are getting out of time, so I gotta speed run through all these. That one gets an S tier, I don't care. Maybe it's not as good as the confusion ending. Actually, it is. There you go. Now, if you do pick up the phone, you get the, I believe that's the, what was that called? The work ending. The work ending is basically the idea that you slowly dissolve and the narrator's trapped you. The narrator's trapped you in his own little narration, and Stanley becomes depressed because his wife left him, etc. This one gets this one's like a C tier. It's not that great. This one, I don't know what this one is. What is that one? What is that one? I don't know what that one is. All right, I think we've covered most of the endings, which is neat. Now we move on to the more, I guess, side endings. I'm only going to cover the ones I actually did, so bear with me. So there's only two of them that I did, actually. There's one specifically where you get to enter a broom closet. Oh, what fun. So you enter the broom closet, and you close the door behind you, and the narrator's basically ripping you a new one about wanting to go to it. It's literally just like 4 minutes of the narrator just being very upset of you, just instead of playing his game, going into the broom closet, which is very funny. I love this ending a lot. It's such a good ending. It's not even an ending. It's just you sit in the broom closet until he eventually is like, oh, it looks, I guess the player's dead. Hey, is anyone there? If you can play the game for this guy? I don't know if he had like a cardiac arrest, but we need to get this show on the road. And if you eventually leave the broom closet, he's like, oh, welcome back, player two. I hope, besides the point. I'm going to put this quote-unquote ending in A tier as well, because that's a fun one. Now, there's another specific ending regarding a little bug in the game. So I believe this game, I don't know if this was specifically a bug that was eventually patched in the OG version, or if it was something that he purposely coded in. But Davey put this in, I'm assuming, just as a kind of fun gag either way. But the idea was that there is a window at the very first, or I guess technically second room, outside of Stanley's office, right? So you exit Stanley's office, and you enter. There's a way you can, even though you don't have a jump button, you can climb up on the other people's desks and eventually make it to your way to the window, which you drop out of, and you get outside of the level, I guess you could call it, right? The narrator kind of jokingly says that you're stupid for doing this, and then the ending ends. We quickly find out what this ending is called, because I forget. Window. Out of map ending. Oh, there is one more ending as well that I don't think is here. What the hell is going on here? So this was the escape pod ending. What? That's crazy. Maybe I need to play this game again, because there's some endings I still haven't done. So basically, you can climb on the office of one of your employees, and then from there you can jump out the window. Where the narrator's like, I hope you're happy for finding this glitch. And he's like, you know what? This meta's bit has gone too long. Do you want a bit to continue, or do you want to just get out of here? If you press yes, I believe he just plays a song for the duration, so you can get your fun kick out of it. If you press no, then he'll tell you about all the possibilities that would have happened if you pressed yes. Either way, the game technically... So it's not really an ending because the game doesn't reset, but you have to do the reset yourself. Either way, this ending is a solid B tier. I think it's a solid bit. However, I don't really care for it too much. We're almost out of time. There's a couple endings I didn't cover, mainly because of time constraints and also because I didn't want to go through this game too much. There's always some fun little secrets I could go back to. Fortunately, this game also has a bunch of different achievements that you can also go through and have a great time with. For example, an achievement you can't even get, and also achievement for not playing the game for 5 years. Fun. Really fun. So fun. So, anyway. I hope you have a fantastic week. I hope that everything goes well with you. Midterms are fast approaching, but also reading week. So I hope that you all get the rest that you deserve. I digress. I hope you have a fantastic, marvelous, utterly brilliant week. And subsequent month, and subsequent year, and subsequent decade, and subsequent life. See y'all next time.